You're getting close to 1948.
Yes.
Are you thinking about either going to Israel or going to the United States? Or
Yes, it's a very interesting chapter in my life. So everybody is emptying, you know, the labor camp, the refugee camp, little by little. People found relatives in America and relatives sent them papers. I had my brother went to America, and I have no place to go. And so I'm already, it's already 2 years, going on 2.5 years, and a friend of mine comes to me with a joyous face, and he says, "I have good news for you. I'm going to America." And he shows me the papers. And he says, I also have this extra set of papers. I don't know what to do with them. Excuse me? And I said, so I told him why. He said, "Yeah, but they are not in your name." I said, "The history of Jewish people is that they change their names all the time. And we can continue the process of that history." Meaning from Steinberger, I became Sommer practically overnight. So what happens is there was a guy, a lawyer in Italy, in Cremona, who processed these things. He came to you and he literally said, "What would you like to be?"
Right.
You know. And so, because I had these papers, and so the name is Sommer. It was a little bit disturbing inside you, because you're giving away the name that your mom called you by and all that stuff. But circumstances dictate that you accommodate your fate, you know. So I accommodated my fate and I became Sommer, J. Sommer from Steinberger. And I must tell you, I haven't been suffering too much from that ailment, you know. I got very easily used to the Sommer.
Now, before you got those papers,
yes,
there were, and I don't know whether you knew anybody, but there were a number of people who had tried to go from Europe to Israel.
Yes, yes.
Palestine.
Yeah, yes. That's a very special chapter in my life, by the way. So most of the people I knew were going to Israel. And my education was so thin, I wanted education so badly. And I knew then, as a fact, that if I went to Israel, I would go on a kibbutz and be a kibbutz worker on a farm, and I didn't want to do that. It was very compelling to me to fulfill my dream. I wanted an education if it killed me. And it was a difficult decision to make, because my road to travel was 10 times more difficult than to go to Israel, because life would not be a bed of roses. Nevertheless, you were among your people and you already, you know, family, whatever. I didn't want to give up on that. And so I made the choice. And some people would interpret that one way or another. I don't care. I just say that every human being has to carve out his own existence, and nobody else can do it for you. You know. And I am, in retrospect, by the way, I'm very pro-Israel. And however, I don't condone certain things that Israel did either.
Well, the Israelis are always split on these things as well.
It's
not like the Israelis have the view that the United States has, which is you're not allowed to question anything about Israel. Right. Which is rather ironic. But
I have not decided yet that that I don't like Arabs. I don't. That's ridiculous. You know, I just don't. It's almost in a kind of remote way, converting to my past where people didn't like me because I was Jewish. You know, and I think that is a salient, terribly important matter, that you don't take your own past and betray it in some way.
In fact, what it sounds like you've done is you've honored it in a beautiful way.
Yes.
That you've said, I've experienced this, I don't want other people
to experience
right,
this.
Right, right, right.
So can I ask you when you left the refugee camp in Italy?
Yes.
You came to New York when you came to the United States?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and were you able to see your brother
yes,
at that point?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so he tell
was
us what
living,
happened when you came to the came
yeah,
to
yeah.
United States.
So I came and he was living in Brooklyn at the time. Not very well off, and so I wanted to be sure that I didn't depend on him, so immediately I got a job, you know, and there was a hotel on Broadway, 103rd Street, I remember. I got a job washing dishes there. And I was a pretty good dishwasher, you know. I mean, let's be professional about these things. And so for six weeks, I think, I washed dishes. And then somebody came along that gave me a hint that there are actually places where there are mechanics and where you can, you know. And so after washing dishes, I was able to get myself a job as a spot welder, you know. One might misinterpret thinking that I was so smart. I think that fate is such a powerful force, you know. You hear a voice says, "Hey, listen, dummy, make the right turn here." You know, or that kind of thing. And a good part of it, of course, not to underestimate, that we are born with dreams. And those dreams are nagging, you know, and they are there. And it's good that they are nagging, because otherwise, you know, you'd be able to ignore them. You know, so.
So now you're working, and you started school almost immediately?
Almost immediately. PS 149, or something, PS, in Brooklyn, on Sutter Avenue in Livonia. I will never forget it, because I met this wonderful lady who wasn't Jewish and didn't look Jewish and was a fantastic human being, and she was my English teacher immediately. How terribly important it is that you open your soul to human beings and don't worry about their religion. It's okay. She turned out to be my guide, you know. And so I think 2 months went by, if I remember right, at night school. At Sutter Avenue in Livonia, and she sat down with me, says, "Well, I think it's time for you to move on." By the way, so many expressions in English have a physical element to it. So moving on had this kind of thing that if you are sitting at one bench, you can move to the next one, you know. Moving on, she said, there's a place, you know, called Brooklyn College. And she literally said that they love foreign people there. So I said, that's a bonus. I'm in, baby. You know, they love foreign people. I went to Brooklyn College, and I met this lovely human being, Mrs. Gieses. I will never forget her name. And Mrs. Gieses, I'm going for admission as an evening student. It's a different category than a day student. And I met Mrs. Gieses, And I, Mrs. Giese said, well, tell me a little bit about your background. And I, foolishly enough, says, well, you know, life was such that I never finished for a fourth grade. She said, don't tell anybody that. It's none of their business. I said, but Mrs. Giese says, I don't want to lie. She says, lie, lie, go ahead.
So
I'm accepted to Brooklyn College. I had to fulfill three different courses that were required courses for entrance. And one was in history, and one was in English, and the other one was some other, I think it was a biology, elementary biology course for me to be accepted as a non-matriculated student, and then you had to have a B+ average to become a fully matriculated student. By some incredible miracle, yeah, I did it, you know. And then, of course, I was very practical. I met an English teacher who became my wife, you know. So you do the things right, you know. So
now, was she an English teacher at Brooklyn College, or was she?
She teaches at Thomas Jefferson High School.
Oh, okay.
She taught, you know, and she was an English teacher. And I mean, every story does not have a bed of roses to go with it. It was a very challenging beginning because Shirley's parents were very unhappy that Shirley met a refugee. And listen, I never had any kind of ill feelings towards them. I mean,
it wasn't personal.
Yeah.
It was not personal.
Yeah. Well, this word, the word about wasn't personal, is sort of empty in meanings as far as I'm concerned, because it wasn't directed to Moshe Pipik or something, or it was directed at me, you know. So, and somehow I managed to placate their fears. See, I'm using English fairly well, thank God, to placate their fears and to say, someday you'll be very proud of me. So I invited them. When I was named National Teacher of the Year, I was invited to the White House, and they had a standing invitation to be my honored guests at the White House. They couldn't make it, but
I was going to say that they were still alive.
Yes, they were alive. Yeah, but they were old and see. So I properly rewarded them for their patience. You know, so be, you know, patience and all. I mean, and I wasn't surprised that they felt the way they felt. My own brother didn't believe that I will someday graduate from college. And I, by the way, if you want an extra master's degree, I have two of them, you know, so I sell those. It was very difficult for people, and even for myself, to think that some things like that, you know, will happen. And I had a dream, and I was stubborn, and not to brag about my determination, I think fate plays in into everything, you know. And it turned out that my dream came true. I wanted to be a teacher, and I wasn't to give up. That was a real dream. And somehow, isn't it wonderful that somebody recognized my passion for teaching, and the Lord and everybody else and my mom made sure that I become the National Teacher of the Year and I go to the White House.